All the parents survived the school holidays. I'm a bit weepy, so obviously they've taken their toll on me. Okay. No, I love the holidays. Okay, 1 John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So we are, and really I've just prayed my entire introduction, so that's fine. So I'll just briefly go over what I have here. We're continuing on in our community series. Who are we as a community of faith, a gathering of believers who we know have been called from near and far? And I'm constantly amazed, as I've said 101 times, of God's divine orchestration of our lives. He has called us from the four corners. He's positioned us side by side, and he has commissioned us, he has commanded us to love one another. And it's the kind of love which is so different from what we would perceive to be kind of romantic fairy tale, as Brené Brown says, unicorns and hearts kind of love. It's this deep transformational kind of love which shows people Jesus, that he is real and he is good and that there is a better way. We're not a building, despite the fact that we're really excited that we're going to have a new building. We're not a building, we're not an institution, we're not just a good idea. We are the bride of Christ. Us gathered here today, we are the bride. We're a small but significant part of the body of Christ. And our prayer is that we would be, because the Spirit of God dwells here, that we would be a place of refuge, that we would be a safe place, that we would support our community well, that we would be generous and we would be hospitable with our lives, that we would build bridges and make room for people, that we would rise in our giftings and that we would encourage each other to rise, that we would call forth the good in each other rather than be fearful and afraid of another person rising, that we would not be rigid and narrow-minded, but we would be creative and open, and we would be a people who allow the Spirit of God to flow. And the only way that we can be this kind of community, that we can be these kind of people, is if we're full of the love of Christ. He is the glue that holds us together. We are so fallible. I'm the first to admit that. We're so fallible, but he is so strong. We are weak, but he is ever faithful. And his grace is sufficient for us. He is consistent and he is always loving and he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. His arms are wide open and he welcomes us home, truly and deeply, because he is home. He is our home. He is our safety. He is our refuge. He is love. And our longing, our deepest desire, is to be a people who loves like Jesus loves. That we would see people and we would, with open arms, welcome people home. And this kind of loving, it requires us to dig deep, doesn't it? This kind of loving does not come naturally to us because we have so many reasons to withhold love. When people let us down, when people don't come through, when we've been hurt and disillusioned, to us, they're justifications why not to love, why to withhold love. And Jesus says, "Come and I will show you a new way of loving." A Christ-like kind of love which breaks through the layers of hurt and disappointment and disillusionment and sets people free. That's the story of Jesus. Matthew Henry says that as followers of Jesus, the love of Christ is in our hearts and the world is under our feet. Now there is nothing at all arrogant or superior about Jesus whatsoever. So the knowledge that we have the love of Christ in our hearts and the world under our feet doesn't elevate us to some kind of superior position. Rather, what it does is it helps us to straighten our backs and to stand firm. It corrects our perspective and allows us to see as Christ sees. And then what we can do is miraculously, when we have the love of Christ in our hearts and the world under our feet, we're able to stand. In the most horrendous of circumstances, we're able to stand and be free, despite the fact that, you know, the world may be pushing in around us. We're free in Christ. We don't live our lives as followers of Jesus at the mercy of the world. That's why the world is under our feet. Not because we run around stomping on it, but because we're free from it. We don't live our lives with the noose of despair and hopelessness around our necks. We live as Christ followers, pregnant with hope and pregnant with joy and pregnant with peace. We are in the midst of everything, in the midst of every circumstance, we're the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We are the reconcilers. That is who we are. We partner with God in His making of all things new. We've been commissioned to restore kindness and gentleness and patience to our communities. We've been commissioned to restore love and joy and peace to our communities. We've been commissioned to restore faithfulness and goodness and temperance to our communities. That is who we are as the people of Jesus Christ. We restore that into our families. You know, I always am baffled and amazed that God puts two broken people together, then He allows us sometimes to have children, and we try and raise them, and we make so many mistakes because we're dealing with our own issue as we're raising up others. But He allows us that privilege and trusts us like that. And so as we gather as a community like this to love each other, He trusts that we'll be okay if we put Him first, that we will be able to work through our stuff when we put Him first. And when we go and out into the workplace and we're in the boardroom and we're in our classrooms and, you know, in the supermarkets, if we put Him first, we can restore kindness and gentleness to our communities. The fruit of the Spirit can be alive when we have Christ alive in us. We're called to live a different kind of life. Our faithfulness to the work of Jesus transforms the world around us. And how can it not? How can it not? Because it's a supernatural kind of love. The love of Christ changes everything. It restores, sets people free, and heals people. It was Jesus' compassion which changed the lives around Him. Every time a miracle happened in Jesus' ministry, it was because He entered into that person's story. He saw them. He was deeply, deeply moved by compassion, and His love for them set them free. And I believe that the Spirit of God is released to move and to heal when we are like Christ, deeply moved by compassion. And this is something that we can't fake. We can't muster up a little bit of compassion and love. We have to have cultivated the love of Christ in our hearts to love like that. We cannot stand on the sidelines of life and expect God to move. We just can't. And I know that God is so incredibly good and He's so incredibly gracious, but this life that we're called to, this following Jesus, is a partnership. It's a relationship. We can't stand on the sidelines and kind of, and I'm not talking about prayer, so we'll just, this is just when we stand on the sidelines of life, but we're not really prepared to move. We're not really prepared to change anything, and we think we can just will God to move. You know, whether it's waving our magical kind of supernatural wand or whatever it is, you know, I realize none of us really think like that in particular. but hopefully you get the gist of it. We can't expect God to move without our participation in the story. It just doesn't work like that. We have to enter in. Being the hands and the feet, it requires us to roll up our sleeves, to get our hands dirty, to put ourselves on the line. And that's not about being boundaryless and foolish. We are wise, but we're wise and we're open and we're vulnerable and we allow people into our lives and we're prepared to enter into the lives of others, which, because we know the state of our own life, entering into the lives of others, we know there will be complexities. We know that there will be challenges. We know there'll be misunderstanding, but this is the kind of intimate relationship that we are called to. Love hurts. Say that. Love breaks our hearts. It requires more than we have to give. And because of this, and in order to fully enter in to each other's stories, we must be full of Christ. Otherwise, I think we just end up more broken and more hurt. We must be full of Christ to fully enter in to each other's stories. It's a remarkable collaboration. We are co-laborers with Christ. We enter in together. I mean, that blows my mind that the creator of the universe would invite us, that he would choose us to co-labor with him. I love the words of Teresa of Avila. She was in the 1500s and she was a nun, and this is some words that she wrote, and you may have heard this already. It's, Christ has no body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And we all just took a moment to allow that to sit. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. We really are. His love fills us and enables us to love one another truly and deeply. His love fills us and we're able to choose his way of doing things rather than continuing to do things in the old way. His love within us gives us the courage to step out and do the new thing he is calling us to rather than staying in the old safe place. You know, we don't wait until we are healed people to be the hands and feet. Healing happens along the way. We are all on a healing journey, every single one of us. The church is made up of us. Look around. We're doing a lot of that today. Stretch your neck. Take a look at each other. Go on. Come on. I'm having a drink. It's made up of us. And we bring our brokenness and our mess with us. We can't leave it behind. And the idea is that we would bring our whole selves to the table. That we don't hide behind masks or facades. You know, Jesus has the ability to see right through people. And his seeing them, his really truly seeing them, released them. It set them free. It healed them. His seeing them released them from what other people thought about them. Released them from their harsh labels. And those labels fell away when they fixed their eyes on Jesus. And it's the same with us. We've all been labeled. And we label others. And we label ourselves. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the perfecter of our faith, when we fix our eyes on him and follow him, two incredibly significant things happen. The way we see ourselves changes and the way we see other people changes because we see through Jesus' eyes. As we're filled with the love of Christ, as we love Him first, He enables us supernaturally to love ourselves, our broken selves, and He allows us to love others well. And a healing community is one that is filled with the love of Christ because it's His love which heals us. You know, we've got so many examples from the ministry of Jesus to illustrate this, but a couple are. We've got Matthew, who was the tax collector, and Matthew was one of Jesus' disciples. And if you remember the story, it's in Matthew 9, and there Matthew was sitting at the tax collector's booth, and Jesus saw him. He saw him and he said to Matthew, follow me, follow me, follow me. And Matthew got up and Matthew followed him. And then they went to dinner at Matthew's house. Really, this is the salvation story. Jesus calls us. He says, follow me. Victor, I know I can pick on you. Follow. Don't worry, you don't have to get up. follow me. And Vic opens his heart. He opens his home and Jesus dwells within him. Matthew's is the salvation story. Jesus' love cut right through the layers of shame and oppression because Matthew was despised. He was working for the opposition. He was a hated person within the community. He was isolated. He had been given a whole lot of labels and he'd probably given himself a whole lot of labels too. But Jesus cut through the layers of Matthew's hardened heart. And he saw him and he called out Matthew. And Matthew got up and he moved from his old life, an old label as a tax collector, and moved into his new life as a follower of Christ. And that's our story. That is our story. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we become alive again. We become a new creation. And then we have the story of the man who had leprosy in Mark 1:40. He was another person who had been rejected and isolated and was just existing on the fringe of life. And again, his story is our story. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees and he said, Jesus, if you are willing, can you make me clean? And filled with compassion and love, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man who had not been touched in forever. And he said, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, where else do we go? Where else do we go when we've been rejected and abandoned? Where do we go but to Jesus? His love and His compassion and His seeing us and knowing who He has created us to be sets us free. He renews us and He restores us to community. You see Matthew eating at the table with Jesus, with friends and sinners and tax collectors. You see the leper who, despite the fact that he was told by Jesus, now don't go and tell anyone about this because I don't want too big a crowd, ran to be part of again. He re-entered into community. So God restores us and He re-engages us. Where else do we go but to Jesus? Jesus is the answer. You know, I had a moment in worship a few weeks ago where I was worshiping God, but I became so aware of this great wound. And, you know, I still will have this rising up of real insecurity and a sense of being left there. And I think Dad leaving when I was young, just that abandonment and not that I ever lived feeling abandoned, but it's amazing what it will do to the depths of your soul. Like you're just not good enough. It doesn't actually matter. Anyway, I won't go on and on. But there was a rising up of these feelings and a moment of vulnerability. And I pictured this wound and I was, God, this is what I said, God, just take it away. Take this wound from me. Will I ever be healed? Will I ever be free from this sense of total inadequacy? Because you know when it floods over you, it feels like it takes over your entire being, whatever it is. And I felt Him say to me as I kind of cried out for Him to take it, the impression that I got was this. He said, Amanda, our scars help us to love people. They teach us how to love. And he said, Amanda, I have scars. I have scars. And I felt him say that I'm not going to remove your wound instantaneously. Rather, together we'll tend to the garden of your soul. Together, weeding and planting and walking and talking and laughing and weeping. Together we will go on this healing journey. Our healing comes the closer that we draw to God. We can't heal if we isolate ourselves. God is the one who calls us from isolation because it's perfect love that drives out all fear. 1 John 4:18. It's the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, insecurity, inadequacy, whatever it is, there is no room for the ugliness of fear to thrive when Christ, perfect love, dwells within us fully. Being a disciple of Christ, following Jesus, is allowing his love to develop within us fully. And this does not happen by accident. Discipleship equals actually following Jesus. And as we mature in Christ, rather than living out of our brokenness, we live out of his love. Eugene Peterson says in The Message, there's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life is one not yet fully formed in love. And we read these scriptures and we allow them to settle on us, knowing that it's not a rebuke, it's a call to come forth into healing. That it's a call, let's not stay in a place of brokenness. Let's not isolate ourselves from God or from relationship. Let's enter in. And of course, that requires a level of vulnerability. Our healing doesn't always come the way that we want it to, instantaneously, like I prayed that day. We can't wish away the pain. And as we've talked about many, many times, suffering grows us. It grows us and it forms us into the likeness of Christ if we allow it to. Healing looks like walking through. Well-formed maturity looks like trusting our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. It's trusting him. He knows best. Yield to him and his way. Yield to the Spirit of God. We have to walk through the valley, and our walking through the valley clears a path for others to follow. And we're able to extend out of compassion, genuine love for people, extend the hand of mercy and grace and love and kindness to others who face similar struggles to us, who have been wounded in similar ways. He has graced you and I for the work of reconciliation. He's graced us for this. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. And as I do, if I could just ask the worship team to come up, that would be great. And we're going to close. And what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And I would like the worship team to sing over us, knowing that the Holy Spirit is ministering to us wherever we are at. I'm going to ask them to sing over us the song, Great is Your Faithfulness. I think it was the second song that we sung. And this is a ministry, knowing that the Holy Spirit will move. Second Corinthians 5:16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Lord, help us to understand this fully. Help us to understand that it is you who forms our identity, Lord God, not what's been said about us, Father, not if we have been rejected. We don't live our lives as a rejected person. Lord God, we don't live our lives as an abandoned person. Father God, we don't live as an unloved person. Jesus, we live our lives as a new creation. We are new in you. You have made us new. Father God, you have made us new. Jesus, we don't live as a forgotten person. We don't live as a less than person. Jesus, we're made new in you. We are made new in you. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Lord, help us to live knowing your love, knowing your love, the transformational power of your love and grace, so that we can be your ambassadors and point people to you, the one who heals, the one who sets us free. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, his hands and feet. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, we come before you as broken people. We just want to be seen. That's the deepest longing of our hearts, that we would be seen and that we would be understood, that we wouldn't be pushed aside or misunderstood. Lord God, and you're the one who sees us. You reconcile us. You make all things new. And Lord, as we come around the communion table, Father, my prayer is that we would open our hearts to you. Like Matthew, we would be ready to follow. We would be ready to follow. Like the leper, we would approach you boldly and say, make me clean. God, I don't actually want to live this way anymore. I don't want to live hiding. I don't want to live hiding. God, save us from ourselves. Make us new. Help us to live as the new creation. If I could just invite those who are handing out to communion to come and hand out communion. And this is really a ministry time. So if you could sing over us, and then we will take communion together, and we'll stand and we'll sing together.